If you were heading to the gallows, where would you stop along the way? Your parents' house? Favorite restaurant? Maybe dinner with friends? If you were heading to the gallows, where would you stop along the way? Before Jesus enters Jerusalem, before the palm procession, before the angry mob, before the cross, immediately before any of that, Jesus stops over in the Jerusalem suburb of Bethany and has dinner with friends. The three are siblings, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, are referred to as Jesus' friends. They call him Lord, so they know who he is. But they are not his disciples in any sort of I'm one of the 12 card-carrying sense. They're known simply as his friends. It's called a dinner, but dinner with friends is always a bit more casual, a bit more laid back. Get your own drink. Feel free to nibble in the kitchen. No need to get out the nice plates. Why? Because it's dinner with friends. They love you for who you are, not how you serve. And quite a group of friends they are. Lazarus was recently dead, but he'll outlive Jesus. Martha, cooking the meal, as usual, probably cooking Jesus' favorite. I wonder what it is. And Mary, oh, sweet Mary. Mary seems to hear a song that no one else can. When it's time to eat, when it's time for the meal prayer, when it's time to dig in, she slips off to her bedroom and comes back with a whole pound of perfume, an ointment, nard. It was used as an investment then, ridiculously expensive, as a way of investing your money throughout the generations. Easily worth enough to feed a whole family for over a year, and used occasionally, a little bit, at burying only the most influential and the most powerful. She had it when her brother died, but didn't use it then. It was too important even to use at the death of your best friend slash brother. Would have taken generations to save up that much. And yet when Jesus is in her midst, she breaks open the jar like a cheap bottle of soda pop. And instantly the whole house smells like something in between mint and ginseng. And the smell was famous for lingering, not just for days, but oftentimes for weeks. But she does not dab a little bit on his wrist, maybe a little on your neck. She covers his feet with a whole pound of it, and then dries his feet with her hair. It's a very odd gesture. So Judas critiques it. His darkness contrasting Mary's light. His repugnant superiority contrasting Mary's humble worship. Judas knows what the nard is worth to himself. He knows what it's worth to others. But he has no idea what it is worth to Jesus. If you worship God extravagantly, others may critique you. God will not. Jesus gives an odd response to Judas. For the poor you will always have with you, but you do not always have me. If I didn't know how the story goes, I would have actually expected Jesus to side with Judas. Jesus, the champion of the poor, in a world who considers them as litter. Jesus, anointed to bring good news to the poor. Jesus, who says, blessed are the poor. Jesus, who says, if you're throwing a banquet, invite the poor. Jesus, who tells a rich man to sell all he owns and give the money to the poor. Jesus, who exalts a poor widow's offering over everyone else's. Jesus says, for the poor you always have with you, but you won't always have me. It's a fact of life that there are always haves and have-nots. But in this one moment, in this one moment, when the sharp thorns are still on the vine, when the whip is still hanging on the wall, when the two timbers are still lying on the ground, not yet saturated in blood, for this one moment, let her show her love while she can and save the leftovers for my burial. The entire scene reeks of death. Jesus making his way to the cross. Judas, who will soon betray him. Lazarus, fresh out of the tomb, Mary pulling out an ointment used for burial. How would you feel if you went to a friend's house for dinner and they got out embalming materials for you? Mary anoints Jesus for burial while he's still alive. When kings were anointed, they anointed their head. It was only the dead who would have their feet anointed. Everyone in the room knows where Jesus is heading. But Mary is the only one to act on it. She could have fed a poor family for over a year with the sale of that ointment. But an extravagant burial is fitting for an extravagant sacrifice. In only a matter of hours, there would be another dinner of Jesus and his friends. And this time, Jesus would be the one to get down on his knees and wash his disciples' feet, and issue them a new decree. Love one another as I love you. And then he would make his extravagant sacrifice. And as he struggled to breathe, as he writhed in pain, as he suffocated, one scent still made its way to his nostrils. Nard.